Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you. Get into the message. God bless you.
Happy Mother's Day. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of the beautiful, stunning moms out there. We are strong. We are confident. Well, we will be confident. If you're not, you will be confident. We are strong. We can do a lot of things that men can't do, and they know it. They might not think it, but they know there's a lot of stuff that we can do that they can't do. But God designed us to be this way. God chose for you to be a woman. Sometimes you might think, but why can I not just be a man? And trust me, I've thought about that myself. Why can't I just be my husband and he be me? And then, God was like, but I chose to make you a woman. I chose to make you you. So appreciate you. So I do. and I want you to do that as well. So happy Mother's Day for all the mothers who have just recently joined us. You joined at a very good time. Even though you might have missed the offering and the communion, you have joined at a very good time. Yes. And you're about to receive a word. So let's get into the mystery of prayer. The first scripture I want us to go to is John 14, verse 13. Let's read it together. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. The Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Yeah, so what I want us to focus on, I want to read it again with you guys. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do.
Yes.
So I'm just going to focus on that. I want us to see the specification of what God said there. Now, again, one of the scriptures that we know, we all know this, and we say, God, whatever I ask in your name, you will do. And that's good. But I want us to see the specification of what is being said there. It's saying, what you ask, I will do.
Yes.
Okay, so we have that. We have that's what I want to say to you today. So, well, one of the things I'm just going to say to you. So what we ask in my name, that I will do.
Yes.
So he will do what we ask. A lot of people, speak this and speak that, but they never understand the importance of prayer.
Come on.
Until they understand why we pray. A lot of people don't understand the importance of prayer. And therefore, because people don't, let's say per se in their perception, they don't receive prayers, their prayers aren't answered, and therefore they stop. So they don't understand why we pray. And they won't understand the importance of prayer until they understand why we pray. We understand that God is omnipresent, and omnipresent means that God is everywhere. He says that, behold, if I make my bed in hell, no, he doesn't say, but King David said that, behold, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. So God is everywhere. He said that he would go far above the heavens so that he can see everything.
Yes.
That means God, is everywhere. So I want us to deal with facts around prayer. A man of prayer is a man of change.
Yes.
True.
A woman of prayer is a woman of change. The ones who understand prayer understand the technicalities of prayer. But a lot of us don't understand that, and that's fine. Because like I said, we're learning. We all need to learn all the time. We all need to develop and grow ourselves all the time. Now, I want us to see something here. The reason why we pray, even though God is omnipresent, when God knows, even though that God knows what we are going to say, why he still wants us to say it. So, sometimes we have people that think, but, God knows what I'm thinking. God knows what, what I need and all this kind of stuff. Why do I need to pray?
Sure.
And they get upset with God sometimes, or they get upset with people when, you know, people speak to them about prayer and encourage them about prayer, but God's supposed to know everything. He's just supposed to do it. No. That's not true. That's far from the truth. I want us to look at two of the most powerful words in the Bible. If I'm touching my ear, you know it's just because I have a monitor in my ear. So it sometimes gets a little bit loose for those of you who want to see. And it's just so that I can be the most effective to you. As I said earlier, we are a ministry and we are a church of excellence. Yep. And we will do everything with excellence, and we will carry on and carry on until we have everything excellent, because we will be reaching levels and we'll be reaching people. We will be reaching nations. God said, I will give you the nations. So therefore we will have the nations, and either you are coming along with us or you are going to take offense and leave the ministry because we're wanting the setting to be right. Yes. But that's not going to be you. Let's not focus on the people that have done that. God is taking us to great heights. He's taking us to great levels. People might think, yeah, but why are you so full of pride? I can say it because that's what God said to us. That is His promises and His words. If you call yourself a Christian, you will believe the promises that are in this word. So don't come against me for believing the promises that God has said to me, where He said to me, we will have the nations, and we will, and so will you. So in whatever way you need to, you will have the nations. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Now, it's difficult not having a congregation, but at least we have, I have my commentators who read our comments for me, who can say amen with
yes,
me.
Amen.
All right, so I want us to look at Genesis 1, verse 26. So I said to you, I'm going to show you two of the most important words in the Bible. So let's see, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I want you guys at home, I want you to focus on this. The stream is cracking a little bit. I don't know if that's on. Okay. Okay, great. I'm happy it's not you guys at home, because like I said, we will do everything with excellence. So I want you at home to say with me, let them. If you are serious about it, you will shout it, because even when I am listening to sermons on my AirPods while I'm doing everything around the house, I will say the words that if the preacher says, say this, I will say this, whether people think I'm silly or not, I don't care, because I'm receiving that one. So I want you to say, let them.
Let them.
Amen. So I want you to notice that God said, let them have dominion, not me. He didn't say, let me have dominion over the earth, or over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the cattle of the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing. God didn't say, let me have dominion. He said, let them have dominion. So now, again, we might read that scripture, but we might miss the points what God is saying there. You know, I don't know if you know why we are called humans, but we are called humans because it comes from two words. It's called humus, man. Jesus said, let us make in our image, right? So if you look at the word humus, now before I say that, let us, obviously we know that us is the triune God. It's not God, one person, Jesus, one person, the Holy Spirit, one person. It is God as the triune God. So let us make man in our image. So what I wanted to say is that the humus, so human, comes from humus, man. It's a two-word thing, humus, man. So humus means dirt and soil. So either dirt or soil. Now we know that man was created from the soil.
Yes.
And so I want us to look that and see that the Bible said, let us make man in our own image. So it is, in other words, it's saying man is a spirit that lives in a body, which is humus, or that lives in a humus, which is the body made up of dirt. God did something amazing, you know, and what He did was He gave the ability to control the earth to us.
Sure.
Now we know that, you know, we know that He obviously created Adam and He gave dominion to Adam, and obviously to us, because He said, let them have dominion. So that's us. So we have been given the dominion of the earth. We have been charged to rule over the earth. Therefore, God cannot come into the earth. But we'll get more into that now. I want to tell you about the mystery. You know, God has no power on the earth. Now, we know that because God has given the power to us on earth. There's more things. Don't lose track. I'm going to be quick. I'm not going to be long. Stay focused, stay determined. If I'm going too fast, I'm sorry. Let me know if I'm going too fast. I don't think so, but if I am, make sure that you listen to this sermon again. Make sure that you listen to it again. I've been pondering on it for weeks now. Really, I have. I've listened to the sermon over and over and over to make sure that I receive it as well. And then because of doing that, God had revealed certain revelations to me as well. Through listening to somebody else, He then revealed more things to me just from listening to a sermon. So make sure that you listen to this again and again. So I want you to see that, or I want you to know, or think about it this way. You know, we have no idea how powerful women actually are. A lot of women underestimate themselves. A lot of men underestimate women. But we are so powerful that God said to Eve, "You have deceived my man called Adam." Now, I mean, we've got many jokes about that. A lot of people are like, yeah, but you know, you just like Eve and you deceive this and you do this and you do that. But guess what? The woman shall also produce the seed that will crush the head of the Satan, or that will crush the head of the serpent.
Yes.
So you might think we deceived Adam, and yes, we did. You know, and that's something that happened, and there's nothing we can do about it, but that doesn't define us. God said that, the woman shall produce a seed that will crush the head of a serpent, which is powerful. Imagine the agenda of God was carried by a woman.
Sure.
Now, if you're listening to what I'm saying, you're gonna understand that the agenda of God on this earth was carried by a woman. Yes, he obviously created Adam, and he made Adam, and he gave us dominion. And it doesn't mean that we are to step above the authority of our husbands. Definitely not. Or our bosses and everything like that. But we have to understand that we were the agenda of God.
Powerful.
You know, we even if you don't feel like you have a purpose, at least know that you were part of the agenda of God.
Come
and
on.
your seed that you carry as a mother is powerful.
Sure, I mean.
And if you realize that the seed that you carry, your whole mindset will change. You will realize that your first ministry is to be a mother and a wife. And then you will understand the significance of it. Imagine your child saves a whole nation, reaches thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of souls because of you who taught them and trained them in the way that they should go.
True.
So never underestimate that. I mean, it's powerful the fact that God is saying that, that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. So I want us to see that, you know, people don't understand that, you know, Jesus was obviously the man. Now, we've heard this before, but we might not understand it. Jesus was the man, and Christ, was God inside the man. So Jesus came from Mary. So Mary had to, I mean, so Jesus obviously used Mary, God used Mary, to bring out Jesus. So Jesus borrowed the body of Mary. The man, but God is, but Christ is God inside of Jesus. That's why we call, that's why He's called Jesus Christ. Imagine God Himself. Imagine this: God Himself could not come down to the earth to deal with the parameters of the earth because He can't control it. He's given that control to us. He's given it to man. And He has to operate the same rules that we operate under. He needed a body. So many, God needed a body to be able to operate in this earth. Many times you think like, God, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you answering my prayer? It's because God needs a body. God needs a body to be able to operate on this earth. He gave dominion to man. You know, we may think, but why is, you know, why does God never talk? Why does he not answer prayer, but why does God never talk to me? Why, you know, does he not say anything to me? Why am I not hearing him? Why am I not just receiving revelation? The problem is that God said he spoke from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books in the Bible where God is speaking. But what's the problem? I want to say you're too lazy, or not necessarily, you might be reading, but you're not getting revelation. But think to yourself, why are you not receiving revelation? What are the priorities in your life? What are the things in your life that are causing your, or let me say it this way, what are you filling your life with? Are you filling it with movies? Are you filling it with social media? Are you filling it with bribes? Are you filling it with, you know, what are you filling your life with? You know, and that's why we sometimes don't hear and read the revelation and hear God speaking to us through the word. You know, the problem with God's word is that you know, it disturbs his sovereignty. Sovereignty means that God cannot be controlled or influenced by anyone. You know, why do we pray if God knows what we're going to say anyway?
Yes.
You know, why can't God do what he wants to? You know, immediately we see a problem. Even in Genesis, if we go back to Genesis, we see a problem. We see that, you know, well, not a problem, but we just see a situation where, you know, God obviously made Adam, and then he took the rib of Adam. Why didn't God just take the soil? I mean, we see that, you know, we if you think to yourself, we've always thought, okay, but, you know, woman came from the rib of Adam, and therefore she's the helpmate, and you know, that's what it's supposed to be. And yes, we are the helpmates of our husbands. We are the helpmates, you know, to our soon-to-be husbands. That is a very important function that we have. But that is not the reason why God, you know, took the rib from Adam. If you think about it, before God thought about creating Eve, he had already given dominion to Adam.
Sure.
He had already given the dominion of the earth to Adam. Therefore, it was illegal for him to take the soil without Adam's permission. Now, Adam went into a deep sleep. He couldn't ask Adam for permission for the soil. So he had to take from what was his, and Adam was his. Therefore, he could take the rib from Adam. He could not take the soil because it was not his. And Adam was sleeping. Even if he made Adam sleep, he was sleeping. He could not take the soil of the earth. It was not his to take. It was Adam. He had given it to Adam. Therefore, he had to take what was his, which was the rib of Adam.
Yes.
Adam was obviously God's. And, you know, I want you to think about that. I want you to take a moment, you know, to think about that.
Prophetess, we've got Monique Durant saying that, Prophetess, you have so much wisdom. We need to meditate on these guidelines that you are giving us. Very powerful teaching. Thank you for the revelation. We've got Sino saying, revelation is exploding. It's burning everywhere. Thank you so much for this.
Amen. You know, many times people say, you know, if God is God, he will just do something, or, you know, he'll just fill in here, or he'll just save this, or he'll just stop this, or he'll just prevent this. No. That is why God said, walk in the Spirit.
Come on.
Because he knew that he had no power on the earth if it was not through a man.
Sure.
You know, God's word limits his sovereignty. You know, the reason why he doesn't talk and the reason why he never prayed to his disciples was because his words limited his abilities. You know, God cannot do anything outside of his word. Now, I know we've all heard these statements before. We've heard it, God can't do this and God can't do that and he can't answer my prayer. But if you receive the revelation of it, if you realize that he had given you the dominion, he had given you the authority. So if you realize that, you know, you need to speak to God. God needs a body. He needs you know, someone to be able to speak to him, you know, so that he can move in the earth. Many times people pray, you know, and they only ask for small things, and they maybe ask for a house or a car or something like that. But you're limiting God.
Sure.
You know, God is limited to the prayers that you pray for your life. God is limited to what you say and what you ask for.
Sure.
So if you, the thing went off in my ear. So if you are praying and you're just asking God, God, I just need, you know, like, I just need 100 rand, or I just need 1,000 rand to be able to do this. I just need my this paid, or, you know, I just need, like, let's say, for example, I just need a baby, or God, just do this. You're limiting God. He has so much more for you, and yes, we're limiting God. And yes, why are we limiting Him? Because we don't have the word
Come
inside
on.
Of us.
That's powerful. Yes.
We don't have the promises. We don't know the promises
True.
That is locked up for us in the word, and therefore we don't know how to pray.
Yes, yes.
And therefore we think, you know, and a lot of times we don't want to take responsibility. So we don't pray and we don't ask God because we don't want to take responsibility Sure. if prayers are not answered.
Come
yes.
on.
We don't want to take responsibility of that, yes.
So, prophetess, am I right by saying that you know, by knowing the promises, your prayers become intentional?
Exactly, exactly, you know. God's power is confined to your words.
Sure.
The power of God is confined to your words. So, you know, He says, whatever or whatsoever you say, that same thing I will do.
Sure.
That same thing
wow.
I will do.
Powerful.
So whatsoever you say,
that
same thing
sure,
I will do.
Come on.
You know, we limit, like I was saying, is that we limit God by our minds. We limit Him by how much we know His word.
Yes.
Like I said, God cannot step outside the confines of His word.
Sure, sure.
So if you don't know the word, you're not praying the word, and therefore God can't step outside of His word. And He won't in your life. So let's see what some people are saying. Yes.
Sure. Prophetess, people are responding. They say, amen. It's so true. Wow, wow, wow. This is revelation. You are a mighty woman of God.
Amen.
We've got Manette Bester saying, wow, prophetess, you are raising us to be such good women.
Amen.
Ladies and wives, thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. So like I want to say it again. God cannot come to the earth without the permission of a man. He
sure,
cannot.
Sure.
Think about it this way. He even had to send an angel to Mary to tell her that she will be pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Think about it that
sure.
way. God couldn't even come Himself. He had to send an angel
sure.
to tell her that she's going to be pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit. And you know what else? The angel waited for a reply.
Oh, wow.
He was sure. waiting. Do you know what Mary said? For those of you who might not know, she said in Luke 1 verse 38, be it unto me as of you have said, I have agreed.
Sure.
Sure.
Imagine if Mary said no. Jesus might have had a mom named Lisa. Imagine Mary said no, but she knew. It's amazing. God would ask Mary for permission, and Mary had the audacity to say, yes, I agree. And I will do it.
Sure.
Yes, yes.
You know why? Because she knew that she needed to give permission for Jesus to come, for God to send Jesus. She knew that she needed to give the permission.
Sure.
She had revelation of that. Do you see how powerful? Do you see how God Himself had to, even through Jesus coming, send an angel to send to Mary? And Mary had the ability and the chance to agree or not.
Yes.
Sure.
Amen. So prayer is an exchange. It is a kind of change of jurisdiction where man gives permission for the precedence of God to come into the earth. You know, man needs to say to God, I give you the precedence over my issue. I give you the authority to step in and take control of my situation.
Yes.
I give you the authority to answer these prayers
come
and
on.
To come in. And, you know, I give you the authority to come in. Notice when, you know, when we get born again and we say, you know, I accept, I believe you in my heart, that you are the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What are we saying here? We are saying we want to give, you know, God the rule over our
yes,
affairs.
Yes.
Sure.
Amen. Let me hear you say amen, or let me you can say amen.
Prophetess.
And the rest of you, I want to hear
see
you
type. People are commenting, this is so powerful. I'm hearing you saying so powerful, Monique. This is powerful, Cynthia. This is so powerful, Amanda. This is powerful.
Amen.
The people are understanding and they are with you, prophetess.
Okay, so let me ask you the question again. Why do we pray? You can answer on the messages if you want. Why do we pray? Because prayer is giving God a license to operate on the earth. So remember I said earlier, people don't understand the importance of prayer until they understand why we pray.
Yes.
So you pray to give God license to operate on the earth.
Amen.
You know, because he cannot, God is limited. The power of God is limited through his word. So I want to say the power of a woman was so important to God that he prophesied that the seed of a woman will crush your head.
Yes.
He didn't say to Satan, I will crush your head. He said the seed of a woman will crush your head. And, you know, then he said that, you know, he can't reach the earth with a body. Even the devil knew that God could not come into the earth and that he could not operate on the earth. Why do you think he spent all that time tempting Eve? Satan, sure. I mean, if you look at it, for Eve to be able to speak to a snake, you must know she had conversations. If a snake had to speak to me or to one of my children's, I would ninja kick it or something. I would do something, you know. Now, but the fact that Eve spoke to the snake, it obviously means that she was familiar with the snake, which proves my point in saying that, you know, the snake, Satan spent a lot of time tempting Eve. And he knew he had to do that because he had to try and get the authority of the earth from them. The devil even, or let me say the snake, the serpent knew that God had given the authority of the earth to man. That's why he also went tempting them, and which he eventually did. But even demons cannot operate on this earth without a body.
Sure.
Why do you think they go, you know, like for example, a demon's not just going to stand by me and say, hey, it's going to come through the form of a body. They need a. It's illegal for for God, Satan, demons to be on the earth without a body, even your own body. I'm giving you examples to prove my point.
Yes.
Even your own body,
sure.
Let me say it like this: even your own spirit,
yes,
has to be here with the body. If you get sick, let's say for example you get cancer and you're not healed for whatever reason. We don't understand sometimes why people are not healed, but it's not our place. That's just what happened in life. That's how that it happened. Not saying that the enemy doesn't come to kill, steal, and destroy. Of course he does. We know that. But what is very important. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I just saw something, but. Yes, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but that's beside the point. My point is that even with our own spirits, we need a body to operate. So if we get sick and we get cancer and we die, or if we just die from anything,
yes,
our spirits have to depart the earth.
Sure.
They have to. It's illegal for them to be here without a body.
Sure.
In the same way, God. God has given us the authority, you know, our bodies, the authority, our flesh, meaning our flesh, we need to rule, our spirit needs to rule our flesh, but he's given us that. It is illegal for God to be here without a body. I hope you guys are thinking a little bit about what I'm saying and getting the point that I'm getting across to you.
The people are with you, prophetess. Kyla saying, thank you for this powerful revelation. Rensha, amen. I receive this message. Cynthia saying, man should give permission to God. Powerful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, many times, like I was saying, I'm going to say this just to remind you of what we have done. You know, many times you think to yourself, you know, or you say to yourself, God, just show up, just do something. I remember when Bethany was small, she was a very newborn baby. I would be in her room and I would struggle nights and nights and nights with her, not sleeping and crying and screaming. And I would be like, I'd literally cry and I'd be like, God, just show up, like, just do something, just take control, just make her sleep. But unfortunately, I've learned since then that, you know, God says no, he needs to show up in you. So make sure that you prepare yourself and, you know, sanctify yourself so that God can show up. You know, with even the disciples, I want us to look at the disciples and think about the disciples. You know, it's amazing that after all the time that they spent with Jesus, they asked him one question. So they saw him, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, you know, feed multitudes, all these kind of things. But he did all these things, but they still had one question for him. They could have asked him, you know, teach us how to walk on water, teach us how to do this. No, they didn't want that. They realized that there was something that Jesus did before all of these things, before all these supernatural things. I want to give you one example. You know, when Jesus was coming down from the mountain, at one situation, there was a family who had a demon-possessed child, and they had asked Jesus to help them, and they said that they had called for the disciples beforehand, but the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. So Jesus said to them, this kind comes out by prayer.
Come on, come on.
And, you know, the disciples realized that they might have spent hours trying to cast out a demon, but they spent no time in prayer.
Sure.
Where Jesus spent hours in prayer and took seconds to cast out a demon.
Powerful.
Sure.
How powerful is that? And if Jesus had to pray, how much more us?
Amen.
You know, they knew. So the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray.
Come on.
They knew his secret was prayer. So if like I was saying, is that they realized that there was one thing that Jesus did before he performed all these supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles, is Jesus prayed.
Yes.
Do we have any comments? Do we have anything before I carry on?
Yes, prophetess. We've got Yolanda saying, I can't write fast enough, prophetess. This is feeding my spirit and giving me such new revelation about prayer. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Fiona is saying she's receiving this teaching. It's miraculous.
Nicolette Amen. Is saying this is truth. And a fresh reminder that our promises is locked up in our prayers.
Amen. The people who are most powerful in their prayer lives are people who are the most powerful and successful in transferring license from themselves to God.
Come
to
on.
Operate, to operate in this, in their affairs and in this world. Imagine you pray and realize what I am doing is transferring my situation or transferring my authority back to God to answer my things. But let me tell you this now, that is only junior revelation. That is for the small or medium Christians.
Yes.
You're gonna think to me, what are you saying? Like, what are you doing? You just give us all this revelation. Thank you. You give us all this revelation and now you're saying that's for juniors, junior Christians, but it's true.
Yes.
That's the junior revelation. Let's go to Ephesians 5 verse 30. So I have 13 minutes with you. I'm going to get this across as quick as possible to you. Let me not get distracted. Can you put on Ephesians 5 verse 30, please? All right. 30, yeah. Ephesians 5 verse 30. For we are members of his body and his flesh and his bones. So listen to me now, I'm sharing the higher revelation with you. So I was saying, the fact that we can transfer authority to God is the lower level.
Yes.
And if we realize we need to pray, you know, transferring that and making our requests known and knowing the word, and that's lower level.
Yes.
Let's get into this. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. God said we don't need to transfer a license anymore. If you need to, start off with that. Please, start off with that. But I'm going to give you some higher revelation as well. Just as I was in Christ, now I am in you. Jesus was the body borrowed from Mary, where Christ is God in the body. So I said that to you earlier. Christ was the one on the cross and gave up his ghost.
Come on.
Jesus was on the cross.
Yes.
And gave up his life or his ghost, and Christ left. I want us to remember that. When Jesus went down to hell as a sinner, a flesh man, a humus, he walked in there and defeated the devil without being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us can't even defeat the devil with being born again. I'm not condemning you, I'm just challenging you.
Yes.
up your spirituality, up your spiritual life, so that you know the power and the principles and the promises that God has for you in the Word, so that you can pick it up and take it with authority. Amen?
Yes, amen.
So the body is Jesus, like I explained. Jesus Christ is in Jesus. He borrowed the body from Mary, and he entered the body and started operating as Jesus Christ. Now that Jesus was in Jesus, so you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Now that Jesus was in Jesus, so Jesus was the body that was borrowed from Mary. He was the physical man. Christ was was God in the body.
Sure.
So Jesus was in Jesus.
This is good.
He is now in you. So we know that if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He is now in us.
Yes.
So we understand that.
Yes.
That is basic 101. If you're watching, you are most likely saved, and you know that. We all were told that at our moments of salvation. Exactly what He did with Mary, He got the body from her. So He got the body from her. So Jesus is now getting the body from us. So God is now getting the body from us.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me know if you understand what I'm saying. I hope the sound is okay because my mic.
The people are with you, prophetess.
Okay, so let me carry on. So what I was saying is that just as Jesus was in Jesus, or Christ was in Jesus, Christ is now in us because Jesus is in us.
Amen.
Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you are not following, you know, let us know and we can explain. But now Jesus is in us, just as He was in Mary, He is now in us. It's difficult for us to receive this because, like I said earlier, when something goes wrong, we want somebody to blame.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus was trying to say, you and me, we are the same. We are the same Jesus as He was in the body. Christ is inside of us.
Yes.
Sure.
We are the same as Jesus. Christ is the same, is inside of us. So Jesus was the man, the body, the physical body.
Yes.
That was Jesus. He was the humus, the dirt man that was made from the soil. Jesus is the body. Christ is God. So Christ was inside Jesus. So if we're standing in a line together and Jesus is behind us and somebody's looking at us and saying, you know, are you the same? We say yes.
Yes.
We are the same as Jesus. Because Jesus was the man, the physical man. Christ was inside of Him. So we have Christ inside of us.
Yes, yes.
You know, so the Bible says in Colossians 1, verse 27, you don't have to go there, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, for those of you who don't know, glory means doxa, the highest status of being God.
Yes.
The Christ in you makes you a God.
Sure, come on.
Most Christians don't believe this because they are more in touch with their flesh than what they are with their spirits. And you cannot have a revelation of who God is because you are in the flesh.
That's powerful.
And you are affected and taken by the world and taken by the things of the flesh. That's why I'm saying to you that you need to get to a place of where you kill your flesh.
Yes.
Join me on Thursday and I'm going to give you some practical things. I don't have time now to do it now, but join me on Thursday. I'll give you some practical things that you can do to kill your flesh.
Sure.
So as I was saying, we don't believe this because our flesh is stronger than our spirits. You know, Jesus has to... I mean, you have to kill your flesh, you know, for Christ to be in you.
Yes.
Like I was saying, many people struggle to accept this. They struggle. It's because they're in their flesh. You know, when you... Now this is the revelation. Listen to what I'm saying now. So, like I was saying, is that Jesus was the man. Christ was God in the man, in the humus.
Yes.
So, I, Isley, am the woman.
Yes.
But Christ is inside of me.
Amen. Yes.
So Christ is inside of you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior,
yes.
Christ is inside of you. Whether you believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, Christ is inside
Amen.
Of you.
Sure.
So let me ask you this question. If Christ is inside of you and you pray to Jesus, so when you pray, you say Jesus or you say Father, you say, you know, do this, do this, do this. So if you're praying to Jesus, where's Jesus? Inside of you.
Inside of you.
So where's your answer going to come from?
Mm. Come on.
Inside of you.
That is powerful.
Yes, amen.
This is good.
Inside of you. So that's why it's the higher revelation. You don't need to just pray and give God the authority. You realize that Christ is inside of
you. Yes.
And the answers come out
come
from
on.
You.
Amen. Come on. That
but that's
good.
Why I'm saying the importance of killing your flesh and, you know, giving your spirit authority over
yes.
your life, giving your spirit dominance over your life
yes.
and ruling your body, not your body ruling your flesh. I want you to know if you're getting what I'm saying, just maybe read one or two comments.
Prophetess, people are saying, wow, this is a big responsibility. They're saying that this is definitely a revelation. They need to kill their flesh.
Amen.
People are stating that they have Christ in themselves. And that's absolutely powerful.
Amen. Amen. I have 5 minutes with you. So I want you to see that, you know, what we need to do is we need to give God His word. We need to give God His word. Then He gives us back His word.
Yes, yes, yes.
My word goeth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will not return
sure.
unto me void.
Void.
So if we give God His word, He cannot return it back.
Yeah,
so if we're
sure.
praying with the word of God,
yes.
we're praying Christ out of us.
Come on.
Amen.
This is the word of God.
Yes.
In John 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God.
Yes.
I might mix up the structure, but you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
God was the word. John 1 verse 1 was the beginning of all.
Yes.
Where Genesis 1 verse 1 was the beginning of this world.
Yes.
So if God is the word, and was with Him always, why do we not take this word seriously?
Come on.
Sure.
If you think about it, if you know, if we don't take it seriously, now if we pray the word to God and the promises to God, He will answer it through us. Let me give you an example. Many times I, you know, if I have something like a thought or a suggestion that comes to me, then immediately by now, with the word inside of me, immediately I have an answer to that.
Come on.
God
sure.
answers me immediately from the word.
Yes.
Because I know the word. So where I might say something to God or ask God something or pray something, immediately my spirit answers. God
yes.
answers.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I know the word.
Sure. Amen.
So know the word. I want us to also think, like, you know, God is no longer in this revelation. God is no longer, you know, leading our steps. He's the one walking them.
Sure.
So when you become filled with the revelation of God, when you become filled with the word of God, God is leading your steps.
Yes.
So you will know, I need to go here. I need to do this. I need to phone this person. I need to phone that person. You'll just get an idea to phone this person. And you start talking about this. You start talking about this many times. I can tell you many times. Is it prophetic? Probably. And yes, it is. But it's also God leading my steps, because I could be in the flesh and I won't hear God's voice. But many times, many, many, many
yes,
times,
yes.
I'll speak to people and it's just random.
Amen.
When I say random, I mean, I'll tell the other day, I told somebody, one of the guys who's working here, I told them to come into the kitchen, and I just told them something that I had, you know, something that I had learned, something that I had received, you know, and they said to me, they're like, I can't believe
sure.
this. You won't believe this.
Yes.
Everything that I've been struggling with in this moment, you just told me about.
Oh, wow.
Powerful.
And I've been questioning God, asking Him, you know, why is this? I don't understand this. But I could have called someone else that was here.
Come on.
Yes.
Working, of course. I could have called someone else, but I called that person. Why? It's because,
powerful.
Because you know, I am no longer taking my steps. God is walking
that
my
is
steps
powerful.
For me.
Come on.
So the junior revelation is that, you know, you need to give God license to be able to operate on this earth. But the higher revelation is that you understand that Christ is in you and He's walking your steps.
Sure.
He's the one leading and guiding you. I want us to quickly read Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. I want to show you something, just an example of how we pray and we should focus on something else. So it says, I'm going to read from my iPad, it's just better, but you guys follow with me on the screen.
Yes.
Let your conduct be without controversiousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So I want us to think about something. If you're listening to what I'm saying, you'll probably be like, ah, that's so true. So when we pray, a lot of times we say, Lord, you said you'll never leave us, you'll nor forsake us, da 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 da. And yes, God did say that. But if we fail to read what He said in verse number 6, He said, so I'm going to read from 5 again. But now listen to where our heart and my voice, so that you can get what I'm saying. You know, be content with such things that you have, for he himself has said, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say. So we pray what God has said. So we go and we say, you know, God said, you said this, this, this. Yes, and that's good. But God said that so that you may boldly say.
Come on, that's powerful.
The Lord is my helper.
Yes.
I will not fear. It's just it's an example. It's an example of what we do. We don't pray, you know, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We pray, Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And yes, it's fine. But we don't read the scripture that says, so we may boldly say. So God wants you to say, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants you to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Yes.
Are you guys getting what I'm saying?
This is good, prophetess. The people are with you.
Amen. So I'm nearly done. I'm nearly done. You know, God cannot go beyond the maturity of the level of word inside of you. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, I think most of us know the scripture very well. It says, can you put it on quickly so that they can follow? So I'm going to say it again while he gets that ready. God cannot go beyond the maturity of the level of word inside of you.
Yes.
This is the last key that I'm going to give you before I close. I see my time is up. I'm going to be 3 minutes and then I'm going to be done. So I'm going to say it again. God cannot go beyond the maturity of the level of the word that you have inside of you. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, but faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Romans 14, you don't have to put this one up. Romans 14, just take the scripture down. Romans 14, verse 23, it says, for whatsoever is not of faith is a sin.
Sure.
Okay, so the mystery of prayer is understanding who you are in Christ and understanding that you have Christ inside of you.
Yes.
Sure.
And then, quick thing, I'm gonna skip that one thing just because I want to be obedient. And I was basically going to say that faith is very important. So in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Word of God. This is our word of God to us. There's more to the word of God, of course, but for us, this is the word of God.
Yes.
So we need to know the word of God. Faith is not something that just happens. It's not something that you believe so hard is going to happen. No, that's not faith. Faith is intelligence.
Amen.
Sure, come on.
Faith is the intelligence of the word.
Sure,
that is powerful.
I hope you're listening to what I'm saying.
This is good.
Yes.
Faith is the intelligence of the word.
Come on.
Amen.
How much do you know the word? That's what I was saying. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
The quantity of the word of God inside of me is the amount of faith that I will have. Do you have information and revelation to back up your faith, meaning your belief? So do you have information and revelation to back up your belief?
Come on.
To back up, you know, your prayer? To back it up, do you have information or do you have faith, you know, with what you are presenting to God? How can you have faith? How can you, you know, have faith if you don't have the word? If faith is intelligence of the word,
yes.
You do not have faith if you speak it and not speak the word. I'm saying now, if you just say, God, do this, God, do that. I have faith. That's not faith.
Come on.
Faith is intelligence,
yes.
Of the word.
Sure, that's good.
Faith is not a feeling or an idea.
Sure.
Like I said, faith is the amount of word inside of you.
Yes.
Faith is the intelligence of the word that you have inside of you.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.